What's working today in podcast launching and growth? We're getting lessons from the trenches with my guest host on today's segment of The Ham and G Show. Right here, right now, it's On Air Brands.
You're now tuned in to the On Air Brands podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the On Air Brand Show. I am Todd G, along with my guest host today, Mr. Mike Ham, with the Ham and G's Show, filling in for Amber today. Mike, what's going on? Thank you for coming out of the bullpen for us again.
Of course, love to do that. It's like one of my pastimes, I guess. But anytime I can and I can get on here and get on here with you, I'm going to say yes, unless I have something just like terribly, you know, busy going on, but I'm in.
Well, I know you have like 7 calendars that overlap each other that are very difficult for you to juggle. So
if anybody has any advice on how to like, syncing calendars, that would be great because I am the worst. So,
but you do have so much time on your hands that you did launch another podcast since the last time you were on. So I'm excited today to dive into what you've been up to and what's working for you with your main show, The Morning Spotlight, which is the show that you started and run for your title insurance business. And right. And then what you learned from that and then launched this new show, Greetings from the Garden State. So you're over 100 episodes in, well over 100 now, plus 60 mini episodes from pre-show. So you're pushing down 200 podcast episodes in the last like 18 months or so, something like that. And so what's going on out there? Like, give us a rundown of the last few months of 2021 and the Morning Spotlight, what you've seen, you know, in terms of getting your guests, getting more reach and engagement. What's your audience feeling like these days? How's it going?
It's going. So, I mean, like you said, I mean, I started the Morning Spotlight back in May of 2020. Time's a blur over the last couple of years.
I feel like last year was like, the last 2 years was like 1 year, you know?
Yeah, yesterday I recorded with Rhino Julie, who on Air Brands knows Rhino Julie. And I was talking to her and I was like, oh yeah, I started this show like for real in July of last year. And she's like, wow, that many episodes since then. I'm like, wait a minute. No, I had a whole other year before that, but I totally forgot because it's just like it all blends together. Was the Morning Spotlight today, we launched our 123rd episode. So we've done a lot.
Awesome,
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Very major accomplishment.
Yeah. I was excited about it. We did take a few weeks off at the end of the year last year, just because it's around the holidays. Yeah. And I just launched, like you said, in October, a new show and was trying to like push that one a little bit. So I gave myself a little break on the Morning Spotlight.
Just well deserved.
Breakneck speed for basically a year, doing an episode a week, two episodes a week for a good portion of 2021. But you know, it's one of those things where like when I started, it was difficult to kind of get like push my Morning Spotlight brand in front of people just because like I was new to it. I didn't really know what I was doing. I was just kind of making it up as I go, and then get cut to, you know, probably beginning of last year, end of 2020, beginning of 2021, starting with the PodMax stuff and then kind of snowballing through Clubhouse and all the stuff that I was doing last year. I just started to gain a little bit of momentum with it. So social media started growing a little bit, started attracting, you know, bigger, I'm not going to say better guests because the original guests were still great, but just more access because all of a sudden now you have a little bit of a, you know, some cachet when you walk into a room, quote in quotes, and be like, oh, I host the Morning Spotlight, and people check it out. And they're like, wow, they can go through that list of people that have been on the show. And it's an impressive list. Yeah. You know, and then I was doing two episodes a week. So Tuesdays we were doing real estate business focused podcast to kind of, you know, push my title insurance sales and grow that network and stuff. And then I just really liked it. I liked podcasting. I enjoy it. And I wanted to do something that was a little bit more for me, just like a little passion project. And I'm from New Jersey. I've lived here basically my whole life outside of a couple year stretch when I was coaching. But I was like, why not do a show and highlight local businesses, nonprofits, you know, different places in New Jersey that people may not even know exist? Mm-hmm. You know, and we started that one in October. And then that one kind of hit the ground running. But it was interesting to kind of start. When I started the Morning Spotlight, I really had no background in podcasting at all. Not really. Yeah. I did not have. And I had none.
Zero. There was not a gray area. It was zero.
Right. There was no gray. It was just like black and white. And I was in the wrong version of that. But I didn't even really listen to podcasts before I started the Morning Spotlight.
Yeah, that's crazy
to
me.
Yeah. I just needed something. I needed something to get myself out there. And it's gone through a lot of different iterations. Like you were talking about the mini episodes. And then when we first started, we were doing panels, and it just continued to evolve even until today. And then the Greetings from the Garden State show, that was just an interesting experiment because I had now at the time, maybe 100 or so episodes, maybe 110 episodes, maybe somewhere around there. We launched the Garden State show in October, middle of October, and going from having some knowledge and being like, okay, if I had to start, you know, the Morning Spotlight again, what would I do? And this one is a little bit different because it's a little more focused on a specific geographical area. So that was a little bit of a challenge. Like, how am I going to figure that out? Because
A lot of these in person, or you were doing them in person, right? I saw you on the scene.
That was definitely something, you know, the first time I ever did an in-person interview was at the PodMax studios or the On Air Brand studios, whatever they call them these days. And that was fun. And I've been back there a couple times, you know, first time with Josh and Eric. And then I did one with MC Lobster. Yeah. And I think I was back there maybe one other time. I forget. But doing a live show, it's just like it's such a different energy. And then what I wanted to do with this show was try to highlight, you know, like I said, local businesses, nonprofits, and be there. You know, be there and be able to take some videos, and like the backdrop of the space is the actual space, not my maybe pretend background like I have here. So that if people are watching or listening, they get to kind of experience it along with me. You know what I mean? And that was something that I definitely wanted to do. And I don't have studio space. So I was like, let's just go, you know? So I have a I look like a homeless person. I have a cardboard box, you know, I'm just like, hey, I'm here. And I just like pull out all these mics, set them up, and then we just go. So that's been fun, and it's definitely a different experience. You know, like this is easy, not easy, but you do it, you record it, you know, you have the audio and the video right there. You just put it together and boom, you're done. You don't have to go anywhere. With the new one, it's just like, it adds a couple extra steps, a little more production.
You have to put pants on.
I got to put pants on. Yeah. I am wearing pants right now. It's a little chilly in here. We don't want to turn the heat up too much and, you know, put the gas bill through the roof. So
you got to be mindful of these costs. You know, you had to buy extra microphones now that you're going in person. You know, expenses are going up.
You know, like XLR mics. I couldn't use my USB mic anymore.
That's legit. That's legit.
I know. Yeah, like we're big time now. Like a pod mic? Jeez.
So you said something earlier, and I just want to clarify and see. So you said when you had the Morning Spotlight and you started, did you start with one episode a week and then added in a second episode, or was it always two?
Well, the first iteration of it, the mini episodes, which were just on LinkedIn, so they weren't really like podcast specific, but we were doing one every weekday, so but they were about 5 minutes long, so we were doing five a week, so we did that for 12 weeks, so 60 total episodes in that 12-week span. So I got used to doing a lot of them over the course of a short amount of time. When I started the new show, the idea behind it was to do one a week, and so I would get a panel together and all that kind of stuff, and we would sit and talk about real estate stuff. And then every now and then I would get someone that would reach out that might not be, you know, specific to what I was doing, like, you know, not business related, not, you know, real estate related. But one of the first ones was this guy, Devin Harris, who was an Olympian who was on the first Jamaican bobsled team in the Olympics, they made the movie Cool Runnings about. And so
feeling the rhythm.
Right. Exactly. Feel the rhythm. Feel the rhyme. I see pride. I see power.
That's right.
So when a friend of mine was going to introduce me to him, that one was, I thought about it and I'm like, well, it doesn't really fit, but you could listen to that guy and get a lot of good stuff for what you're doing. And I didn't want to like just start doing them, you know, like randomly, you know? So I was like, all right, every Thursday now, we're just going to do an extra episode. If we have one that week, great. If we don't, that's okay.
Yeah. So you're not putting the pressure on yourself, which is good.
Right. Out of the gate. Then I think in March of 2020, I had so many more people in that same vein. Like they could be Olympic athletes. They could be former NFL players. They could be musicians. Yeah. They could be other podcasters. Like, I mean, a bunch of PodMax people I've had on from that, you know, may not do something specific, but they all do something and they're all successful in their own way. So even if you're not specific to real estate or business or entrepreneurship or whatever, you have something to bring to the table. And right. then we just like to hear people's stories. You know, yeah. you never know who's going to step into the spotlight. That's kind of the tagline, yeah. but that's kind of why we rolled with that. And we were doing two episodes a week, probably from March all the way through September, I think. And that's, you know, that's why we did so many. Yeah. And then when I decided, when I decided that I wanted to do the new show, doing three episodes a week is probably pushing it. Because I'm head chef and chief bottle washer, like I say, at both shows. So that's why I kind of scaled back the morning spotlight to back down to one episode a week. We do them on Wednesdays now. And then the Greetings from the Garden State, we launch them every Monday. So we're still doing two. They're just two different shows. And then in the future, if I have more people like that, like I was mentioning, that fall into that category, right. I'll add a bonus episode every now and then, because it's my show. I can do whatever I want.
That's right.
I'm running the show.
Yeah, that's what the bottle washer gets to do. He gets to pick who comes on the show. Yeah, right. You know, and it's also true too that like once you start gaining that momentum and you're building relationships with all these people who've been on the show or are around the network, like I saw the episode that came out today, the girl who seems like a pretty big deal, who was the guest, and that you tagged, that you were introed by Steve Sims.
Right.
So it's like, you know, you built up this network, you get connected with Steve Sims, who's now, you know, for anyone who doesn't know him, he's like the Mr. Connector of the world. So it's like, of course he's going to bring quality people to the microphone, and you don't want to turn that down because they're going to be great conversations. So, you know, I think that's great. And what I love about this whole story is that you started off daily 5-minute episodes, and then it went to weekly, one a week, two a week. It was panels, it was interviews, but you've somehow, although despite this like evolution and testing of different ideas and like seeing what works or what fits your, you know, fits your vibe and all that kind of thing, it's a lot of change, but it's also still consistent to like, you know, Mike Ham and the Morning Spotlight. Yeah. It's just like these different kind of iterations of it to see what works for you at the time. And again, like, because you are everything about the show, you get to make those decisions. And that's also what I love about just being a content creator, particularly in the business world, where like, it's not definitive forever. It's like, we're kind of, everything is, no matter how strategic or planned out things are, it's still somewhat on the fly, where we can be so agile and lean to make changes on a dime when we need to or want to see what the audience is going to like better, what works better for us, what works better for the guests, what ultimately is helping drive the business forward, you know, when that's the goal of the show. So, you know, I think that's all super awesome to take away, is that like, once you start a show and start moving, like, you can always change how it's done.
Right.
As long as you have that one constant thread of consistency that the audience knows, like, regardless of the format or day or time, like, they're coming and they're going to get value from your episode that's relevant to them.
Right. And I'll be there. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think that's the biggest thing, is like, no matter what, every week you're going to get me, you know? And I think that's the biggest thing, is like, people, you know, I remember there was a lot of times where I would run rooms on Clubhouse and talk to people there, and, you know, maybe people reach out and be like, oh, how do you get your guests? And I think people that run interview-based shows, whether you're doing them in person, whether you're doing them, you know, virtual like we're doing right now, whether you're doing panel episodes, whether you're doing them, whatever, people put a lot of emphasis on who the guest is. And that's important. But a lot of times, you know, and I know you're hosting shows too. Like, if you have a guest on and you're like, oh my God, this person has tens of thousands of followers on Instagram, let's say, and you're like, this episode is going to get tens of thousands of listens. Most of the time it doesn't.
Yeah.
And I, you know, nobody seems to have cracked the code with that. But the one thing that the key takeaway there is, like, if you're running a good show, no matter what the format is or how many people are actually on the show as a guest, or even if you have guests, if you're able to show up and make sure that whoever you have there brings that value to the table, that's the most important thing. So like, as an interviewer, I'm trying to get as much as I can out of that person, because I know who my audience is. You know what I mean? Like, I've gone through it. I've learned over time. That was another big thing from the community side of it. Learned over time who the Morning Spotlight community was, the spotlighters, as we like to call them. And then, you know, knowing who they were, knowing what they were interested in, knowing what they wanted to hear, That's
and how did you do that? Yeah. You know, because I mean, it's not like people are loading up their earbuds and it's a two-way conversation. So you're publishing this content that's basically a broadcast medium, but where are you getting the feedback and engagement that you're hearing from the audience to get that? Because that is crucial.
Yeah. Oh, it definitely is. You just, it's not like it's, people put a lot of emphasis on that. And like, how do you figure that out? To me, it's not necessarily rocket science. It took me a while to figure it out. But once I figured it out, you just ask them. You just, I mean, you people, like if someone tells you, hey, like if a friend, like one of my friends says, oh, I've been listening to the Morning Spotlight, you know, I really enjoy it. And it's like, all right, like who were some of your favorite episodes? If they can't answer that, odds are they're just blowing smoke. But if they can answer it and they give you some, and then you're like, okay, why? And then, you know, like for me, it was one of those things where, like this, I'm going to toot my own horn here, but at some point last year, I put up, I have one of those buy me a coffee things.
Yep.
Right. And I just, I didn't even realize that the level of the community that I had been building up until that point. And I just put out like, hey, you know, like I just have this link. If you like what you hear and you're trying to support the show, why don't, you know, support me? You know, that would be great. Yep. And the response, I mean, maybe people even on this call had supported it, like Todd. but the response to that was, I was like overwhelmed. I was like, oh my God, I didn't realize this many people listened. I didn't really realize this many people cared about what I was doing. I just thought I was, you know,
maybe they just really want to support the coffee industry, you know, keep the economy flowing. Right. I think that's really,
I can't confirm or deny if they were bought, if I bought coffee or anything stronger. But, you know, I think it was one of those things where you just put it out there and then you start realizing like you have a community. There are people listening. You could have five downloads per episode, but that's five people that are committed to what you have to bring to the table. So just figure out who they are and ask them. You know, whatever that medium is. I know you guys talk a lot about different ways to kind of connect with audiences and listeners and viewers and all that kind of stuff. But just figure out who they are and ask them. Ask them what they like. And then use that to kind of format your show moving forward. That's what I would say.
Yeah, totally. And you know what? You say like five people does not sound like a lot. And, you know, in the realm of like podcast downloads, maybe it's not. But if you were to sit down at a table with five people to buy everybody lunch and ask them what they thought about the show, you're like, maybe I don't want to buy that. All that. But that's a lot of feedback to get even just from five people. If you can get a genuine one-on-one conversation with them to learn what they like and don't like and what they want to see more of, I think, you know, regardless of how small, it's almost better when it's smaller, because I do similarly to the big names not getting traction. Like I've over the last few years have worked on some with some global names on stuff that we do, and literally zero of our traction comes from them. And like, we have it all trackable, zero.
Yeah.
And where we get the most traction is like the guy who has a 12 person local meetup, because those 13 people get together every week and have a real relationship. And so when the host says like, hey gang, this is what we're doing, they're like, awesome, sign me up, I'm there. And so I think similarly, when you can have that genuine conversation as opposed to like, high audience, here's a survey link, please fill this out. It's not as direct. And there's a few reasons that it doesn't work. It's like, it feels when you try to talk to everyone, you really connect with no one, right? So you have to really like those one-on-one conversations, even if you are speaking to a large email list or Facebook group or whatever, like you still want to communicate in a way that's conversational, that will resonate with people and feel like it's just for them, because then they'll be more likely to, honestly, not from a guilt standpoint, but like they'll feel more obligated to reply when they're like, oh, Mike just sent me a message, as opposed to like, I'm on Mike's newsletter and he sent out a newsletter. He doesn't need me to respond to this, you know?
Yeah. You know what else I did too, when I put that buy me a coffee thing out there, one of the things that I did with it was at the beginning of every episode, no matter, you know, like let's say you bought me five coffees. At the beginning of five episodes, you got, you know, like, oh, the coffee for today's episode, because it's a morning show. Put that in quotes, because you can listen to whatever. Right. The coffee for today's episode was brought to you, you know, purchased by Todd Genetazio. Right. And it's like now all of a sudden if they're listening and if they're engaged, and all of a sudden now like you make them feel like they're part of the show. And then you bring them into that little community that you have. And that just continues to, you know, bring them in closer and closer, so that now as you move forward and you, again, you know, ask them what they like and who they're listening to and all that kind of stuff. You know, I think that really went a long way too. But the other thing, and I don't know why this just popped into my head. I don't mean to derail the conversation, but with the
there's no rails on this conversation. Let's go.
I love it. That's my favorite kind of rail. When we're talking about these like higher profile guests and like trying to get them on the show, I've had experiences where some of those, I mean, one of them is my most listened to episode of all time. Not all of them are in the top 10. Some of them are like, you know, maybe someone I randomly met through LinkedIn and all of a sudden they just did a great job promoting it. However, they did that. And then they, you know, kind of catapulted to the top of the list. But one of the things that I like to do is, you know, let's just say, like you mentioned Steve Sims. So let's just say that I have Steve Sims on the show. Obviously, he's got a lot of social credibility. Right. Yep. So what I do with an episode like Steve's is I try to extract as much out of that as I possibly can. So like maybe it's, you know, at the beginning of the episode, it's, you know, hey, this is Steve Sims and you're listening to the Morning Spotlight with Mike Hamm. So now I have that soundbite and I could add that into a trailer or one of my favorite, you know, compilation videos that I do. So like you try to extract as much out of that so that next time you try to go get one of those larger guests or, you know, somebody that's in your industry that you really want to talk to, and they find your trailer or they find, you know, something, now all of a sudden they see like, oh my God, they had Steve Sims on the show. They had Jeffrey Hazlett on the show. They had Eric Cabral on the show, you know, stuff like that. And all of a sudden now you start
He's a tough get, that Eric Cabral.
Very tough get. I had to really pull teeth to try to get that guy on the show. But, you know, and now all of a sudden, like you have all these people on the show that you can then show. And then that just gives your particular podcast more street cred. It's like, oh, wow, like Mike had these people on the show. That's really cool. I want to be a part of that, you know, guest community now.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you said something before about like, it's you that, you know, you're the one showing up every week on all the episodes and it builds a relationship. And then, you know, we're talking about the more traction, momentum, relationships you get. I'm curious, now that you've been over 100 episodes and you've done all these interviews with people in your industry, the two areas I'm curious how you've seen growth or not is, number one, are you like the Mike Hamm when it comes to title insurance? Like, does your reputation precede you more now that you have this show in the industry as the person like, no brainer, we want to work with him because we know him, we listen to his show, he's like the guy? Like, has it raised you as an authority in the title insurance real estate space? And then secondly, like, how has the relationship building gone and has that helped with the business growth because of the people you've met through the show?
So the first part, excuse me, the first part of that question, I don't know if necessarily like title, I mean, I think title insurance, you know, guy, right? So like coolest guy in title insurance is the tagline.
Yeah.
So, and I was at, and this was just cool to see too. I was at a networking event. I think it was in September or maybe October. I forget. And we were doing like this Palooza, we called it. So it's a group that I'm a part of in Morristown. And what we decided to do was going to have this big event. And I was going to do a live show of the Morning Spotlight at the event with all the people that are part of the group. And there was like 100 and something people at this event. So, but the only, you know, 15 or 20 got to come on and sit down for 5 minutes on the show. But then as we were doing it, people start coming up and being like, you're Mike Hamm, right? Like, I see your stuff on LinkedIn all the time. Like, I see, you know, this on Instagram. I've listened to your show before. I don't know any of these people.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's, and they're awesome, not all right. And they're not all part of the, you know, real estate title insurance world, but that's just, again, like it's that social credibility you put, get, you put yourself out there.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden people are seeing what you're doing and they want to talk to you. They don't even know what they want to talk to you about. They just, and a lot of times if I have somebody on the show, they're, I'm learning more about them. I'm kind of driving the conversation and asking the questions that I want to ask, but like, you know, value side, I mean, I think a lot of the value comes from the guest and what I'm able to get from them.
Yeah.
And then, but because you're on there and because you're talking to them, all of a sudden, like now you have elevated yourself. So as far as like, you know, the title insurance guy, I don't know if that's necessarily it because that's not, I didn't do a very good job at like really defining it out of the gate. It's evolved over time. Coolest guy in title insurance didn't come till probably 6 months in to the actual show.
Yeah.
So that's taken some time to evolve. But I think that the presence and just being like a recognizable face, even at an event, just randomly in New Jersey, like in Morristown, you know, a couple people, you know, more than one, and that's as much many as you need, just have seen it and they want to talk about it and they want to ask you like what you're doing. And do you think that would be good for their business too? And now all of a sudden you're just kind of like an authority figure and you don't even know how that happened. But but that's how I would answer that first part. What was the second part? I forget.
The second part was like, have you seen either faster or further relationships and networking because of the show?
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when I, my whole job, for people who are unaware of what my job actually is I go to lunch, I go to drinks, I go to events, I, you know, schmooze, I'm a schmoozer. And I just basically try to get you to, when you have a real estate deal, to call me and be like, I need title insurance. That's my job. Obviously, pandemic derailed my whole way of doing business. That's why I started doing the show, just because I need to put myself out there more. And I've just noticed, like, I don't do as many in-person, you know, for a variety of reasons, in-person stuff as maybe I had, you know, done from 2017 to end of 2019. But like, I'm just as present, just as recognizable, just as successful in that business. And it's just a different way of doing it. And then the more I started using the social platforms and the podcasting platforms and all that, and then actually going out, like I was talking about before, now all of a sudden, like, those relationships, it's like, I've never even met these people, but they already know me.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that was the biggest thing, you know, granted I'm meeting way more people from around the country doing different deals in different parts of the country, and that all that stuff's great. But now, like, my reputation, I think you said, has preceded me. Right. And it's like, oh, that's Mike Ham, the Morning Spotlight. Yeah. I recognize that. I got like the hat on all the time with the logo and the whole deal. So I think that's what I've seen. It's just like, increase my accessibility and my profile tenfold than what I was doing before. I mean, I was like pounding the pavement nonstop from those first.
Well, the problem is when you're pounding the pavement, it's input one, output one. But when you're creating content, when you're publishing a show, when you're showing up digitally, it's input one, output infinite scale.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and that's really, and that's what you're tapping into the power of.
Yeah.
And just, you know, you stuck it out that initial 12 weeks and then turn it into a show, into a year. And like, where you're going to be 1 year, 2 years from now is going to be tenfold, probably more than where you even are today, you know, and that's amazing.
Yeah. That was one of the things, like, I, you know, at the beginning of last year. So I've been doing the show for a little bit and I started to do some episodes that maybe weren't like specific to what I was doing for business. And maybe a couple people in my, you know, company had reached out and been like, hey, is this like for business or is this just something that you're doing? Like, what's this actually for? And my response was exactly what you just said. Like, I can go, I mean, I couldn't then, but I can go to lunch and have lunch with you and I'm going to be with you for an hour. And then I probably won't have lunch with you for another 6 months, maybe more, depending on how good of a client.
I'm still waiting for my invite to the Committed Pig for lunch, by the way, but
we can go. I'm down. It's Summit or Morristown though. I'm not sure.
Well, you're in Morristown, right? So we do
Morristown. But yeah, we can go to lunch.
Shout out to Jerry, man. I love that place.
It's fantastic. We were just there. We had takeout there on Saturday. Great place. It literally put me right to sleep. But but anyway, so I can have lunch with you for an hour. But then as soon as our lunch is done, odds are you're not going to see me again for 6 months or more. Mm-hmm. And then I lose top of mind. But let's just say we go to lunch and then the next day you get to your office and to warm up for the day, you're going to scroll through LinkedIn and boom, there's Mike Ham. And like now I'm still there. You know, and that was the thing that I said to the people that I, you know, was working for, that I do work for, was like my exposure. Like if 1,000 people listen to the show every month, that's 1,000 people that I've connected with.
Yeah.
Or at least they've connected with me. I haven't.
Instead of a dozen lunches.
Instead of a dozen lunches or going to an event with 200 people and trying to get, you know, 10 business cards and then trying to follow up. And that you know, works maybe 10% of the time.
Right.
But now, like, I just have this presence. It's like a 24-hour day, 7 days a week salesperson. It's me with all these cool people that I've had on the show. And people just want to be a part of that, like, because they think it's cool, you know, and they were like, oh, you know, I can't do that. And it's like, sure, you can. But I'm doing it. So there you go.
So you've been doing it. You've got now you do have the experience. You are on the other side of the black and white zero experience when you started the Morning Spotlight and you start this new show, Passion Project, Greetings from the Garden State. For all of our listeners in the Garden State, please give that a listen and subscribe. But what did you take into that? Like, okay, well, I'm starting this new show. This is what I'm going to do because I'm pretty sure it's going to work based on my experience with the Morning Spotlight. And, you know, what worked versus what didn't.
Yeah. So for me, it was putting the emphasis on the community first. So but consciously. So for the Morning Spotlight, I already had a community. So at the beginning of the pandemic, I was running a lot of virtual networking events. I had run in-person events, you know, plenty of times before that, before, you know, 2020. And I started running virtual events right out of the gate. And then I had was doing them every week. We would get 45 to 50 people every week. And I already had like this little community that I had been growing. And then that's why I started the mini shows. And then that kind of grew. But I didn't realize like what I was doing at the beginning. Like I said, with the Buy Me a Coffee, I didn't realize the community that I had been building, but I already had it. And I had it from something that, you know, I do for work. And then this was just going to kind of parlay that community into the show. Mm-hmm. But for the Garden State show, granted, I've lived here all my life and I know plenty of people here, but I needed to make an emphasis to grow a community before I actually started the show. So started a Facebook group. And then it was the Greetings from the Garden State Facebook group. If you want to join that, you can. So then it was just reaching out like, hey, this is what we're thinking. This is the kind of going to be the format of the show. Who do you think we should have on the show? And people start sending out like, oh, have, you know, Daddy Maddie's Barbecue, have, you know, Brooklyn Square Pizza down in Jackson, have this place. So then it was all of a sudden this thing, you know, where like I was reaching out to these people being like, hey, this is my project. This is who I want to have on the show. This is why, because these community members that I have had recommended you to come on. Yeah. And because my show, The Morning Spotlight, doesn't necessarily target New Jersey. It just targets anybody that could be interested in that topic.
Yeah.
You know, so this one I had that I was like, okay, now I need to really double down, create a community, and then give like, what's the value? Like, why would a business owner or a nonprofit, somebody that runs a nonprofit, come on this show and talk to me about what they do? And it's because I have a community, and the community just continues to grow and started, you know, the social stuff, the Instagram, the Facebook, like I said, before I did it. The other show, I did it the opposite. So I started the show and then started the Instagram page maybe, I don't know how many months later.
Right.
And then, so I maybe had lost out on connecting with those people because I was just hunting on LinkedIn for those people. And granted, that's where my audience was. But then all of a sudden I start diversifying those audiences and trying to see, maybe there's people here on Instagram, maybe there's people here on Facebook. And then started to see that snowball. So that was like the main thing was to do that, to make sure that I had a community going in and making sure that I was like building and building and building for the launch, because we had three episodes that we launched with. They were all epic episodes and they were really good guests. And I did not want to launch it and then just have it sputter and nobody listen. Like I wanted to make sure that we got off to a good start. Whereas with the other show, it was just kind of like, all right, now we're a regular podcast now in July of 2020. Like hopefully you still listen. And people like watch the 1 minute video on LinkedIn. They're like, this is great. I love this podcast. And it's like, well, there's, you know, 44 more minutes on this other, you know, platform that you can go listen to. But so those were a couple of things that I wanted to make sure that I did. And then there's obviously like the production side of it and, you know, how I wanted the show to be structured and all that kind of stuff. But that was kind of just like doing it trial and error, seeing what I could do with GarageBand or whatever platform I was using. But the community side of it, and then, you know, making sure that I had value to bring to a local geographical community, was probably the most important thing that I had to do with the new show.
Yeah. Did you try anything that you thought was like, you're like, oh, this is what works over here, I'm just going to do it here and it's going to work too. And then it didn't pan out the same way, or,
you know? I don't know. The new show just has a different structure. Obviously it's in person. We break it down into segments. You know, so we do some different things that I'll add in post editing, like a Today in New Jersey History or a New Jersey fun fact. We'll throw those in there too. But it was like, I think with the Morning Spotlight, because it's been going for so long, and I have, like you said, changed the iterations of the show, but its core is still exactly the same. You know what I mean? And what I noticed with the Garden State, the more I listened to that show, because, you know, I'm very vain and I have to listen to myself talk. but the more I listened to that show, you could probably put the Morning Spotlight every time I say Greetings from the Garden State, and it would basically be the same show. So I like brought, you know, obviously there's different production side of it, different settings, different guests. But it's still me. Like, I'm not going to just change what I do. Like, I know the Morning Spotlight worked for what it was. I knew I had to tweak some things with the Garden State show, and that was the production side of it and how I was getting that stuff out there and where the community was. But most of the stuff, like the core principles of how I run a show, how I talk to people, how I ask them questions, what I'm trying to learn about them, is pretty much the same. And I think that I've seen it kind of just be almost like a seamless transition into what we're doing now.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I love that. It reminds me of a quote I saw recently. It was something about like, if you're an entrepreneur or whatever, and you start, you know, you fold your business or you pivot your business and you start something new, you're not starting from scratch. You're starting from experience.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and that's exactly what happened here. And it's like, you know, if people in a year or two are like, oh, the Garden State, like the, you know, greetings from the Garden State, like, wow, when you launched, you had these great guests and the format's so great. Like, and that was the first episode ever. Like, how was it so good? It's like, well, because it was the 200th episode. It just, this isn't, you know, this is just a different show.
Yeah. I saw something on like somebody's Instagram story. Like when someone sees what you've done, they're like, wow, that must be nice. And it's like, well, I worked really hard to get it to where it is now and like figure out what works, what doesn't, who to have on, how to talk to them, how to be me, how to host a show, how to ask questions. You know, it's just, it's like one of those things where you can't, I know there's plenty of good courses out there on how to like learn how to be a show host and listen to stuff like this and learn from people that maybe have done it a lot, but really it just comes down to, you just have to do it. You have to talk to as many people as you possibly can. And then, you know, when you're in person and doing things like that, that's a little bit different, but you're still those core competencies that you've learned doing a show over the last, you know, year plus, year and a half now, almost 2 years. They're just going to kind of like shine through a little bit. So
You got to get the reps in,
you know, exactly. You got to put the reps in.
Yeah. And so if you guys are listening and you do want to start your show or you want to start taking your existing show a little more seriously, definitely go to onairbrands.com and talk to Eric Cabral. Wow. Ooh, that was embarrassing. Sorry really about that. go and talk to Eric. That's exactly what we do over at On Air Brands is we help you kind of craft that show, get it launched and get it grown. And Mike, I think you are just a great example of, you know, the getting started, doing it rough, getting the reps in, trying out different stuff and like making it work and making it successful. And so make sure everybody go check out themorningspotlight.com, check out Greetings from the Garden State, subscribe to all his stuff. This is awesome, jam packed. I got a lot of ideas and notes here for clips I'm going to pull out of here. Thank you so much for joining me today on another episode of the Ham and G's show. And guys, make sure that you are subscribed to our show on airbrands.com/show to get in there. We got some free guides and all the episodes, and we will catch you on the next episode.